Good morning, church. Buenos días. I thought for a minute that my wife will say buenos días. But she didn't. It's okay. Let's do this. So the sermon this morning, becoming a growing believer. Again, we're going through the book of Peter. And let's start reading the scripture together. Can you please stand up? And I just pick one or two verses for all of us to read together. 1, 2, 3. Be holy. Let's pray. Loving Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us the revelation that we are in you and you are in us, and we are your children, children of the living God, led by the Spirit. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So this is a very powerful chapter, and the Apostle Peter keeps giving us this wisdom, these nuggets, wisdom nuggets, to continue helping and building our faith, making us stronger in the faith so we can overcome the world. So one key element here is obedient children, right? So we have children who can be obedient, and we have children who can be disobedient, right? So the goal of God is that we, as his children, we are obedient children, obedient to his word. And the way we know that is, do not conform to the evil desires you have given when you receive this in ignorance, when you have this ignorance, but just call, I call you to be holy as you are holy. Be holy because I am holy. So this is a very powerful statement, because I remember when every time we make mistakes, we say, well, I'm not perfect. Yes or no? And we mess it up and we say, I'm not perfect, forgive me, I'm not perfect. Well, God is not calling us to be perfect. God is calling us to be what? Holy. And what does that mean? It means that we are set apart for him, that we are constantly seeking Jesus and allowing Jesus to live through us, and we're going to reflect on what is the meaning, the actual meaning of being holy, and holy in Christ, holy for Christ. So then the next verses is basically he's giving us the foundation of this holiness, and then he goes on to say that we are falling by sin, the sin of our ancestors. He's encouraging us not to live that life, but instead turn around and receive the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. And as we do that, we're going to be immersed in his presence, and he has been chosen before the creation of the world. And now that we believe in God because of Jesus, now we are in him and he is in us. In other words, the most effective way to know God, the most effective way to receive God, is through Jesus Christ. That means that people try to reach to God through creation. They try to reach to God through wisdom. We try to reach to God through the Spirit and through energies and through a bunch of stuff, but the reality is that the most effective way to know God is through Jesus Christ, because he came to reveal the Father, and only through Jesus we have the maximum revelation of God, through Jesus, who came to show us the way of the Father. So it's really hard for us to understand and receive all of this without the person of Jesus, and I've been saying that for the last year. We have a faith. This faith that we treasure in our heart is based on a person. His name is Jesus. It's not based on an idea. It's not based on wisdom. And the Apostle Paul, he used to preach and say, my proclamation, I come to you not to proclaim the mysteries of God with words of human wisdom. I come to preach to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith is not rest, might not rest on wisdom, human wisdom, but in the power of the living God. Because the kingdom of God does not consist in words, consists in power. What power? The power to transform us and the power to redeem us. And when we understand that, then we move away from this idea of wisdom and wisdom and wisdom. And remember that when you go back to Genesis 3, the fall of humankind, Satan convinced Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge. And even today, remember that Eve represents the woman, Adam represents the man, and then you have Jesus, who is the second Adam, and then you have the church, who is the second Eve. The same way that the enemy tried to lie and seduce Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge, the same way the enemy has been trying to just to manipulate the church into wisdom instead of power. So it's the same process. We have not changed a bit. It has not changed a bit. It's the same thing. Today in society, we have more wisdom in the local church than we have power in the local church. We are trying to move people and grow as believers based on wisdom instead of based on power, based on the Holy Spirit. And because God is calling us back to the Holy Spirit to say, forget about all this wisdom. It's time for you to die and be crucified with Christ so I can live through you. And the moment we realize that in fact we have been purified by obeying the truth, which is the word of God, now we can offer our hearts and be changed. And now we know that we are being transformed by the power of the living God, by the blood of Jesus. And the moment we receive his word, now we are transformed. And we are transformed as we obey the word of God. And that's why the Apostle Peter is saying, this is the word that was preached to you. Not wisdom, not knowledge, power, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And here's where we are going to dive deeper into this and make it more practical. Let's bring this home. What does that mean for our natural life, our daily life? So if you are going to just a summary of the whole chapter, is this. Growth begins with a renewed mind. Growth requires a commitment to holiness. And growth is sustained by reverence, the fear of God, and the love of God. So that's the way it's a summary of the whole chapter. So in case you forget everything the Cuban is saying, you remember this. Okay? So this is what God is calling us to do. Renew your mind, commit to holiness, and then reverence the fear of God and the love of God. And the moment we receive that, now we are growing as new believers. In other words, you don't come to church for me to say to you, you are awesome, you are good. In fact is that you are not awesome, you are not good, you are broken. And the moment you understand that you are broken, now you say, I have to renew my mind. I am broken, the pastor is broken, the congregation is broken, we are all broken. Hello. And that's the truth. But now in society, we just want to hear again and again that we are awesome. We are awesome. We are awesome. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit is saying, you are not awesome. And the moment you receive that, now you are ready to receive the revelation of God. So let's go deeper with this. Are you ready? So I hope that you come back next Sunday after this sermon. I hope you come back. If you are a true believer, you will come back. This is the gospel, okay? Let's go to this. Question number one, how do I become a growing believer? So I understand all of this. Peter is doing a good job presenting all this radical truth about Christ, about his blood, about his coming. But how do I become a growing believer? Here he is. The fullness, this is the first fact that you need to receive. The fullness of the message of the cross is not that Christ died for us, not only that Christ died for us, but also that we are also dead in him so he can live through us. So we usually understand the first message of the cross, the first part of the message, which is Christ died for you. The second part of the message is you are dead in Christ. The first part of the message deals with the penalty of sin, The second part of the message deals with the power of sin. The moment you receive the full message of the cross, you are not only free from the penalty of sin, you are a sinner, I am a sinner, but also from the power of sin, this capacity that sin has to enslave us. And we are free and free indeed when Christ is living through us. The cross, then, is the end of the natural man. That's what the Bible reveals when Jesus came and died for us in the cross. But here is a powerful knowledge, nugget that we have here. Sinners find salvation at the cross, but also disciples are made at the cross. You go to the cross, you find salvation, but you go to the cross and you also find sanctification. The only way you are going to be transformed if you go to the cross. And we are very good at receiving forgiveness, but we are not as good as receiving Christ's life in us, so Christ can live through us and give us victory. This is a huge difference. God is in the business of giving us forgiveness, but most importantly, he's in the business of giving us the life of his son. His name is Jesus. And once you receive him, now you are free and free indeed. Therefore, at the foot of the cross, not only sinners receive salvation, but at the foot of the cross, disciples are made. Pick up your cross, Jesus said, and follow me if you are going to be my disciple. Pick up your cross daily and follow my lead. How can I close the gap between what I know and how I live? And here is a big challenge for you and me, because we all know all these things. We all know all these biblical truths. We all know all what to do and all these spiritual disciplines. We want to, however, regardless of what we know, there is a gap between what I know and the way I live. Yes or no? We know more than we are able to actually live out. In other words, we want to love people, but in fact, we find hatred in our hearts. We want to have patience, and then we explode in anger. And then we turn around and we say, I want to trust God, I trust God, I know I need to trust God, but I'm consumed by anxiety. And that's the challenge that we have. All this idea that we have all this knowledge, and then we are not able to live it out. Why? Because the solution is not about doing more stuff, learning more, going back and reading more books, and doing more prayer and fasting, and doing all of that, which is awesome. But the fact is, it's not until you realize that you need to be crucified to yourself that you're going to start living. So, how did I close the gap? Number one, by dwelling more where? In the word, that in my mind. So your mind, it keeps sending you message. Your old self keeps sending you messages. You have this wonderful experience with God. You know that you are God's child. And then you get up in the morning and you feel weak. You feel tired. You are angry. You are anxious. You have all these thoughts of lust and stuff. But you know that God already said, I set you free. Hello. Am I the only one with this struggle? Okay. Just checking. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 7:18, he said, I know that doing what is good is in me, that is in my flesh. I know that doing what is good is not in me, that is in my flesh. For what I have the desire to do what is good, but I don't have the capacity or the ability to do it. That's a daily struggle. If we all recognize that we are constantly in this daily struggle, now we are making progress. Because in reality, we don't have the capacity to do what is good. We don't have the ability to do what is good. We fail again and again every time we try. So the first step is spend time. Live more in the Word of God than you live in your mind. Do not obey your mind. The moment your mind is telling you things that are contrary to the Scripture, you have a choice. And the choice is, I'm going to obey my mind, or I'm going to obey my feelings. In other words, I need to start trusting the word of God more than my thoughts, more than my feelings, more than my emotions. So I don't care about how I'm feeling. I know that I've been saved. And the moment you understand this, I am a child of the living God. You understand this. Doesn't matter if you feel you are not. It's not about what you feel. It's about what the word of God says. At that moment, you have to silence everything and say, no, I'm going to obey and believe the word of God, not my feelings, not my thoughts, not my emotions. And the moment you do that, now you start living in Christ, conquering your flesh, overcoming all these sinful desires, crucifying the old self. Number three, how can I renew my mind in Christ? Then, okay, so if my mind is the problem, if the mind is the battlefield of Satan, and the mind is this workshop where the enemy infiltrates all the thoughts, trying to convince me that I am not who God says I am. I have to decide that I am who God says I am, not what people say I am, not what my flesh says I am, who God says I am. I am a child of the living God. I'm washed by his blood. I'm saved by Spirit of God. That's who I am, period. The moment you realize that and you embrace that truth, now you start living a life like never before, in victory. But now let's keep going deeper. Number one, the way you renew your mind, recognize the failure of the natural life. Again, recognize the failure of the natural life, meaning your natural life is an impediment for the revelation and the manifestation of Christ. You need to crucify your natural life. The natural life has failed. You see that from Genesis to Revelation. We are broken. We are broken. We fall. And because of that, we know that we don't have in us the capacity to love God. We don't have enough the capacity to worship God. We don't know and we don't have the capacity to obey him. Therefore, the moment we recognize that, now we start living. Let's see what the scripture says about this. It says in Romans 8:11, and if the Spirit, say with me, if. It says, if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit of God who lives in you. How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Amen. So there's no if for you. You have it. And because you have the Spirit and I have the Spirit, then I can have victory and I have the confidence that God is going to give me life. Regardless of what my body is saying, regardless of what my flesh is saying, I'm going to receive this life. The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead. That is power. That is power. So every time you recognize that you have no power, however, the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead is in you, and the same Spirit will give me life. Wow. So I'm no longer dead. If I receive Christ and go to the cross to be crucified with him. Then he says, say that with me, 1, 2, 3. Wow. Let that sink for a minute. God is not seeking to improve our natural self. Stop reading self-help books. He's not. He wants to replace the whole thing. He wants to take it out completely and then bring the life of the Son. So the life of Jesus Christ living through you, that's the goal that God has, not other goals. He's not in the business of trying to improve you. He wants to remove you. Wow. And the moment you receive that, you're going to start living a victorious life, no matter what happened. Here is what 2 Peter 1:3-4 says. That by his divine power, we have received everything that we need for godliness and for life. And we receive that through the knowledge of him who called us to his greatness and his love. The more you know Christ, the more you realize that everything, all things that you need and I need for life and godliness have been given to us. In other words, stop praying to heaven and stop praying to God to give you stuff that you already have. True prayer is not about asking God for more. It's about asking God to reveal to you what you already have. Therefore, the more you receive that revelation and he opens your eyes and you begin to see the resources that God already gave you, now when you are now living in Christ. Wow. But here is how and why we are able to do this. Because we have been made and we are now partakers of what? The divine nature. In other words, my self, my old self, my natural self is broken, is dead, is crucified on the cross. Now, when I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to my life and now a new self is born. That new self is the one that is made and created in the likeness of God. The old self is not. The old self is rebellious. The old self doesn't want anything to do with God. The new self is the one that is in likeness of God. It's the divine nature. And I have to step into that divine nature. I have to close myself with that divine nature. And only then I can live a true living life in Christ. Wow. Imagine that. Say with me, I have a divine nature. Come on, say it like you believe it. I have a divine nature. So every time you say, I cannot obey the word, I cannot worship, I cannot fast, I cannot read, you have a divine nature. I cannot forgive, I cannot love. You have a divine nature that have been given to you by the Spirit of the living God, who is living in you. Wow. Wow. Then, accept by faith that you have been crucified with Christ. That is a fact. It is a fact that you have been crucified with Christ. And that's the truth. And the moment you realize that, it is by faith. You know what Hebrews 11:6 says? It is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. Why? Because God, he said that if you believe that God exists, you have to approach him like he exists, knowing that he also rewards those who seek him, understanding that by faith you have been created, and by faith the world was created. And the moment you understand this, now without faith it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. So you receive this by faith. Christ in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. Wow. That's a fact. What does that mean, Pastor? So you have been crucified. It says Romans 6:7. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. Again, he's not in the business of improving you. He wants to destroy the whole thing. And then he says, we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. Die to your old self. Regardless of what's happened, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of your sins, God is in the business of removing the whole body of sin and giving you a new life. The death of the natural self of the believer comes before experiencing his glory, experiencing abundant life and spiritual growth. There is no such a thing as a spiritual growth. And even experiencing the abundant Christ, the abundant life that Christ is promising us in John 10, he says, I have come for you to have abundant life. Most of the Christians in the 21st century are surviving. If I ask you, count with your hand, how many Christians do you believe that are living, that you know personally, are living in abundant life? You can do this with this hand. Most of us are surviving, not living abundant life, are surviving. We are coming to church, we are worshiping, we are loving God, and inside we are broken. We have fear, anxiety, we have doubt, low self-esteem. I mean, we are broken inside. Why? Because we need to crucify the self. And then he says, if you die, only if you die, you're going to experience life and glory and spiritual growth. Wow. You have to die. Tell your neighbor, you have to die. Wow. And I am not the one making this up. Look what Romans 6:11 says. In the same way, count yourself what? Okay, it's not me. So if you're going to get angry, go to the scriptures. Okay? Count yourself what? Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And here is the message. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. In other words, I'm not saying that you're not going to fail. I'm not saying that you're not going to sin. I'm saying what the Bible says, do not allow sin to reign. In other words, if you, whatever you're going through, you're not going to allow whatever that is to reign over you. Only Christ can reign over you. And the way we do that is by not obeying its evil desires. So here is the true question for this morning. Is sin reigning in any part of your life? Is sin reigning in any part of your life? Think about that. Go through your whole life. Yes, Pastor, there are some areas where I am failing. Here is the question. How can I overcome lust, gluttony, greed, laziness, fear, envy, pride, codependency, depression, anger? How can I overcome all of that? How can I overcome all of that? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. How can I overcome all of that? Here's what the word of God says. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, by the Spirit, you put to death the works of the flesh, you will live. In other words, this is the key here. It's not that you try and you try harder against all these things. No, you don't try harder. What the Bible says is that you have to go to the Spirit. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the flesh. By the Spirit, not by your carnal passion, not by your desire, not by human will. No. It's by the Spirit. Doesn't matter if you try and try, and the result is a spiritual exhaustion. You're so tired of trying because God is waiting for you to die so he can show up and help you live. And the moment you allow the Holy Spirit to come, he will put to death all these works. Because now you're obeying the Spirit, not your flesh. Wow. Wow. So, Pastor, how can I overcome my sinful nature? How can I overcome my sinful nature? How I can just stop allowing my flesh to overcome and rule my life? The answer is easy. It's easy. It's not hard. Live moment by moment in conscious dependence of Christ. In other words, every time you see the sin in your flesh, you don't trust your flesh, you trust the Spirit, and you depend on Christ. You spend time with Christ. You abide in his presence. And here is when we start going to John 15:5 and says, 1, 2, 3. See the contrast. See the contrast from much fruit to nothing. So what is the difference? Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. You're spending time in his presence. This is not about you trying or go and get more medications and then for the anxiety and for depression and then you go back and read another book to change your mind. No. This is go to the secret place and abide in Christ. Spend time with God. And the more you do that, he says that you're going to produce much fruit. What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Joy, patience, kindness, gentleness. All that comes when you abide in Christ. Not by effort, but by relationship. So we're not talking about spiritual laziness. I'm doing nothing. No. You have to participate by faith and obedience and decide to obey the Spirit, not the flesh. There is nothing lazy about that. God is calling us to move from constant effort to constant abiding in Christ. Stop trying and go to the secret place. You will not be able to overcome your flesh if you don't spend time with God. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many services you come, and I don't care how many times you raise your hands in the church. The life of the church is the corporate life. We are talking about your personal life. You have an expression of the body of Christ that is corporate, and you also have an expression of the body of Christ that is personal. He is your personal Lord and Savior. Yes or no? So he's looking for you to spend time with him, one-on-one. Your wife is not there. Your children is not there. No one is there. So you cannot blame anyone. You have to face him face to face. That's it. That's when transformation starts. Abiding in him. Constant abiding. No constant effort. The Christian life requires then active participation rather than spiritual laziness. It requires our participation, faith, and obedience. You have to be active. In faith, I believe these facts. I believe that Christ died for me on the cross. I believe that I'm crucified with him. I believe that the Holy Spirit is in me. I believe that I have a divine nature. These are facts. I don't care what I'm hearing. I don't care what I feel. I don't care about my perceptions. I know these are facts, and I'm going to live by it. That's what give us strength. This is what Ephesians 4:22 says. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self-corrupt life that is diluted in its lust. Instead of that, renew in the spirit of your mind and clothe yourself with the new self. With what? With the new self, according to what? Created according to what? To the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, as long as you are moving in the Spirit, as long as you are moving in the new self, you are walking in righteousness and in holiness. As long as you are walking in the flesh, the old self, you are walking in a sinful life. You are in disobedience with God. Clothe yourself with the new self that is created according to the likeness of God. The old self is not created according to the likeness of Christ, of God, because we are fallen. We are fallen. And because we are fallen, we are not created in the likeness of God. The moment we receive Christ, that's the likeness of Christ, of God. That's the likeness of God. The moment we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and we are born again in this new self, that's the likeness of God. That's the likeness of God. Move. Move. Come, Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1:27, Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, every time you face a situation, you have to say, I don't have the power, the ability, or the capacity to face this, to resolve this, but Christ in me is able. When you don't want to pray, when you don't want to fast, when you don't want to come and worship, when you don't want to come and serve God, you say, I don't have the power. I recognize that, but Christ in me is able. I don't want to forgive this person, but Christ in me. The question is, what Christ in you wants to do? It's not about what you want. It's not about what your flesh says. It's about what Christ in you wants to do. Can you ask yourself that question? Every time you face a situation or a challenge, instead of going and doing what you want, Can you stop for a minute and breathe and say, okay, this is what I want to do because I know how to resolve this problem. For 25 years, for 40 years, I've been living my life without Christ, and now I know how to resolve this problem. But here is the issue. The issue is that now you are dead in Christ. And if you are dead in Christ, you no longer live. If you go to a funeral home and you see a casket and you go to the casket and say to the person lying there, stupid, I love you, I don't want you anymore. That's the same way we should react. If you really believe that you are crucified with Christ, when people insult you, when people say anything about you, you are dead. The moment we react, the moment we respond, it's because we are too alive. We need to crucify the self. And the moment you crucify the self, God is going to show up and bless you like never before. Now you can flow and say, Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Living the Christian life is impossible without Christ's life flowing freely within us. And how do we, so you have to move yourself out of the way and now allowing Christ to flow through you. So stop living the Christian life. Stop imitating Christ. You cannot imitate Christ. We are broken. We are crucified. We are dead. We cannot imitate Christ. We need to allow Christ to manifest through us. Then you are living the Christian life. You cannot try. It doesn't matter how much you try. You will fail. Why? Because we cannot imitate Christ. We can only allow Christ to live his own life through us. What will happen if you say, I know, Christ, that you are in me. Will you live your life through me? You're going to be amazed. Now you want to pray. Now you want to worship. Now you want to serve. Now you want to forgive. Why? Because Christ in you is living his own life through you. Wow. You will be surprised. Now you want to pray in the morning. You want to forgive. You want to do things that you were not able to do before. Are you going to ask God to do that? This week, just try it. Ask God to do that this week. It's a fact that God will never attempt to improve our human nature. He wants to do what? He condemns it. Our human nature was what? Judged and what? Crucified on the cross. Therefore, say it together. Vamos, say it like you believe it. Trying to improve it. This idea to go to the mirror. You are beautiful. You are awesome. You are no, you are stupid. That's what you are. You are nothing like that. Where are you coming that from? Where are your basis? What is your basis to say that you are awesome? You are smart. You are beautiful. You are handsome. What is your basis for that? Your own words. Let's go and see what God says. You are broken, you are broken, you are falling, and now the only way I can redeem you, if you remove yourself, come to the cross and die, then I will give you life. Now you are awesome, now you are perfect, now, hello? Now you are, after you die, after you are crucified, now you are awesome, now you are smart, now, because the big revelation here is that God wants us to crucify not only our vices, but also, what else? Our virtues. In other words, not only he wants to crucify your gluttony and your anger and your greed, also I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I know it all, I am good with people, I'm a people person, I serve, I die. I nothing. Paul says, not longer I, but Christ is living in me. I've been crucified, so I am dead. And now the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of the living God. Wow. Wow. Last night I was dying. Today I'm preaching. I really thought I couldn't make it tonight. I mean, this morning I was in bed. Couldn't get up. And now here I am preaching like nothing happened last night. Couldn't get up from my bed. My wife had to bring me medicine. I was like, couldn't move, paralyzed. In the morning, get up, preach the gospel. That's why I'm excited. So, applications, Practice discipline, come to God, follow God, love others, and God will be with you and fill you with his presence to do what he asks you to do. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for redeeming us with the precious blood of Jesus. Make us holy as you are holy. Let our minds be sharp, our conduct be upright, and our hearts overflow with sincere love. We surrender to the process of growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, as we move into this time of offering, I encourage you to take the time to reflect and to pray. And as you feel ready and as the Spirit moves you, I would love for you to join and stand me in worship. So just take the first few moments and just reflect, and would love for you to sing with me as we go.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood.
Try.
Please be seated. Just a few announcements before we close this morning. The one that has been most pressing, and I'm sure many of us have been wondering about, is what's happening next weekend. So next weekend, August 17th, we have the Ironman coming through town. And that will mean that US 42 will just be completely shut down until a pretty long time. So instead of trying to meet that morning, what we're going to do is we have our Covenant Partners meeting at 4 p.m. that day. We're going to gather here at 3:30 and have an abridged service that's going to go directly into that meeting. It will be a few less of the things, but a lot of great worship and a sermon and involved with that as well. So we'd love to see you at 3:30 directly into that Covenant Partner meeting. We're getting close to homecoming. Homecoming is on September 7th, and this is going to be a 9:30 to noon service, and there's going to be a lot of things that are happening here at St. John that morning, so I really hope that you can join us for that. We are going to provide a barbecue for everybody, but everything else is going to be potluck style. So we have families A through M are going to bring salads for us, and then N through Z are going to bring desserts. Okay, so try to commit that to memory. Come find me if you need to be reminded. This month, our August Barrel Ministry is for the Water Step Shoe Drive. They are accepting new and gently used shoes, and it's athletic shoes, work boots, and casual footwear are all welcome to be donated for that. My last two announcements are for things in my area. This Thursday night, I would like to, as we normally have our worship team practices from 6:30 to about 7:30, I would like to invite any of our new tech and audio volunteers to be here during that practice this week, so we can get some hands-on experience, we can get to know each other a little bit better and kind of see the different areas in real time. I think that would be very beneficial for us. And then my other one is that choir practices are right around the corner, and they're going to start back up on August 20th, which is going to be Wednesday, August 20th. So not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. So excited to get that music team back together and to see all of your wonderful faces. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Well, as you know, we have open at the end of the service, we usually open the opportunity for anyone who wants to join the church and become a covenant partner. So today we have Carol Frey. Where is Carol? Yes, come forward, please. Put your hands together, hallelujah. Remember, if you want to become a covenant partner, you just, you know, let us know either Sunday or send me an email before, but there's no process other than come and let us know if you are a former member of the church. That's a right that you have to come back and join us in this new season. Welcome. So here, we're going to read this declaration together with the church, and then you're going to remember your baptism and write your name in the stones and then go to the cross to be crucified. Are you ready for that? Okay. Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. As a member of St. John Community Church, we declare our commitment to becoming one of God's purpose and dedicated to advance God's kingdom through the local body of believers. As covenant partners, we will truly support vision and values, engage in spiritual growth and accountability, contribute to God's time and treasure. In the strong name of Jesus, Carol, remember your baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, you belong to Christ. Here's the Ebenezer stone. Ah, you have one. Wow, that's fast. Good. Now go to the cross. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. The best part of this ceremony that I love the most is when I say to people, go to the cross. Because I have to do it too. Let's pray, just so you are sent. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your life reflect his holiness, your mind be renewed by his word, and your heart be filled with his love. Go becoming. God bless you. Amen.